probably for most of us, if not all of us, it's hard to imagine what the world was like before electricity was harnessed, before the invention of artificial light. If you've ever flown in an airplane at night, on a clear night, and seen how lit up the countryside really is, it's somewhat difficult to imagine what it was like before all of this artificial light was everywhere. Most of us have never really experienced utter, complete, total darkness. I did have an experience, though, a few years ago when we were living in St. Louis. We lived in the west side of the city, and there was a national forest near our home. And some of my kids and I would like to go for hikes through the forest. And one time we were hiking along, and we came across the entrance to a cave. In fact, we had to jump down among some rocks. It was very rocky and hilly in this area, and we went down there and we looked in the cave and we saw that it was very dark. And so we decided, well, we can't do anything more this time, but next time we're going to bring our flashlight along and we're going to do a little bit of exploring there. So a couple of weeks later, we came back with our trusty flashlight, and we found again the entrance to that cave, and we kneeled down there where we had to see inside and shine the light, and we saw that in order to get inside the cave, we were going to have to crawl between two huge slabs of rock. We were going to have to crawl basically on our bellies about 20 feet, and then it looked like there was a bigger opening beyond. And so we decided, well, let's go for it. Well, it was about the time we were ready to enter, one of the kids noticed a sign, an old faded sign over the top of the cave that we hadn't seen before. And that sign said, "Do not go in this cave unless you take at least two flashlights with you. Or in other words, you should always have a spare." Well, as foolish as we were, we decided to go for it anyway. Our flashlight had never failed before, and we thought it wouldn't be that bad. So we went and we crawled in on our hands and knees, me and two of my, I shouldn't say children, big kids. And soon we got into a little bit of a bigger room. And as we shined the light around, we were able to see that there were other places we could go, and we continued into the cave, deeper and deeper into the ground, through little holes, around corners, into some bigger spaces and smaller spaces, and finally we came to rest in a rather large room where we could at least sit up. And then I thought it would be kind of interesting to see what it would be like to turn the flashlight off, just to see how dark it really was. And so I flicked the light off, and immediately we were plunged into utter and complete darkness. And in fact, our hearts began to beat harder, because we realized that without that flashlight, we were totally lost. We were totally disoriented. We were basically helpless and perhaps even as good as dead. We realized in a very real sense that our lives, at least we thought, depended upon that flashlight. Well, the kids said, "Dad, turn the light back on." And as I was just getting ready to do that, I started getting nervous because I thought any number of things could happen. First, in my nervousness, I could drop the flashlight on the ground and I don't even know if I'd find it groping around in that cave. Or let's say I turn it on and the bulb just goes flash and burns out, like sometimes can happen as well. Or who knows what could happen. Well, fortunately, when I flicked the switch, the light did go back on. But I'll tell you, we made our way as quickly as possible back to the exit of that cave and got out of there and realized the importance of that sign of having spare and backup. Do you realize how incredibly lost and helpless and condemned and dead we are without the light of the gospel? That's what it means to sit or to dwell in darkness. The Hebrew parallelism of our text is startling, because mere darkness is not enough to express the condition of these people. This people of this region to which Jesus now goes to begin his public ministry, this region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Indeed, his people, this people, which was the place for the bulk of his ministry, These people were not just sitting in darkness, but it says that they were sitting in the land and shadow of death. Now, it's true that these people got this name, or this area got its name, because of the many times in years gone by that it had been invaded by murderous barbarians. But it also had that name, and I think we can all see here that it had that name because of the spiritual darkness in which the people lived. That was their condition apart from the light of the gospel. That was their, and that would be our condition apart from the message of what God is doing and has done in Christ Jesus. And so darkness is not just here the absence of light. Darkness is not just the absence of a knowledge of the divine truth of salvation. But Scripture here uses even the term darkness here, I believe, with reference to the power of evil, the power of sin in people's lives, and how deep that really runs, and how much that really affects the world and all that goes on around us. Something that indeed is even especially represented in delusion, and religious lies, and religious falsehood. What a lie Jewish legalism is, the legalism under which these people lived. What a lie any legalism is, as Dr. Veith pointed out the other night. Legalism is so very sinful because it can be used to justify the most incredible violence and cruelty. For these people, apart from the preaching of the gospel that Jesus was just embarking upon, these people were lost. In utter darkness, you cannot see anything. In utter darkness, you cannot help yourself. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're stumbling on. In fact, you don't even know which end is up. And that is our destitution apart from the light of the gospel. But it is to these people who were delusional, so to speak, these people who were lost, these people who were distressed, these people who were helpless, these people who were dwelling in the land and the shadow of death, it is to these people, people just like us, that Christ comes. One cannot help but notice the strong note of undeserved grace here. Certainly, it must have been astounding to the Jewish mind, to which Matthew writes, of course, that Jesus would choose this area of Galilee to conduct the bulk of his ministry. That must not have made much sense to any Jew. Certainly, the ministry of the Messiah would take place in Judea, and more precisely, probably Jerusalem. A Galilean Messiah seemed probably impossible to them. Yet that is where Jesus chose to begin. To let his light, the light of the gospel, shine forth. To bring those sitting in the darkness of their sin, to those who were sitting in the shadow of death, to the light of God's grace and mercy. To repent, to proclaim, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. To let people know that they could stop groping around in the darkness, trying to find their own way of righteousness. Because now a higher righteousness was available to all who believed. That God sent his Son into the world to live the perfect life for sin-darkened humanity and to take our sins upon himself in his death. Today there is still much darkness in the world, utter, complete, and total darkness. I don't believe we could argue much about that. People are still groping around, whether it be through the sophistry of modern or postmodern thought or any other man-made philosophical system or epistemological or metaphysical framework, or whether it be through the endless pursuit of worldly power and wealth, or whether it be through some ancient homespun religious system. Whatever it is that people do to try to make some sense out of their lives and out of this world, people are still groping around in the darkness, trying to find their way, but utterly helpless and lost. Apart from Christ and his gospel, they are just like, and we would be, just like the 82nd Psalm says, they know nothing, they understand nothing, they walk around in darkness. And so, the ministry of the proclamation of the gospel, begun by Jesus in Capernaum, continues. We have the privilege of continuing this work of announcing the good news, to bring the light of Christ, to bring the light of the gospel to people who are sitting in that very darkness. Do you realize what a privilege that is? To preach that same thing that Christ preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's a message that we still need to hear, and it's a message that the world still needs to hear. And so may the great light of the gospel continue to go forth, to dawn over those sitting in darkness. May it go forth to dawn over those sitting in the land and shadow of death. May that gospel light go forth. That is our prayer this Epiphany season. In Jesus' name, amen.